1 John 4:7-21. So it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. And we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we'll be not afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for the fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced this perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. And we don't love people we can't see. For if we don't love people we can't see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. This morning I want to share with you about loving one another. I had a few messages on my mind as I was driving back and kind of wondering, well, which message will I speak? And when we went to church in Toronto that morning, they were speaking about loving one another. And so I kind of, well, I guess that kind of confirms which message I should choose, and that is to love one another. And here in St. Paul, we live in a good community, and this weekend has been something that involves an influx of people from all over the area. Lots of activities happen all week long, and people are involved, people are helping, people are doing things, and it really is a time where it does hold our community together. And it certainly is, it's an opportunity to show that we actually love and care about one another. And we have a lot of beautiful cultures and heritages here in our community as well, from this community being founded as a Métis community, that we have our Métis people, and we have our First Nations people, our Cree people, and then here in St. Paul, we have lots of French culture. That as we were driving through Quebec, we were thinking of that, of you know, that here in Quebec, there's numbers of people came from Quebec and settled here. And that's where the community kind of changed from St. Paul to Métis to St. Paul with all the influx of people from Quebec. Then we had the Ukrainians came to this community. And from Edmonton to the Cold Lake area is the largest proportion of Ukrainians in the world outside of Ukraine itself. And so we have many Ukrainian settlers that live here. And we have people from every province in Canada that have settled here. And now various cultures from around the world are also settling here. And it is God's desire that we love one another. This year when we were able to host the healing ride again, as it came through our area and they were going to Frog Lake, and preaching that message of forgiveness, of love, friendship. And I love talking with those guys because they said, we just want to be friends. We just want to be friends again. And, you know, that's something that God is on the heart of God. God wants us all to be friends. And as a society here, God wants us to be friends. And that's something that's very important, right from the very scriptures. But it's interesting that even society is telling us, they recognize that there's a need that we might love one another. And I think that's really God's message to us as well, that we are to love one another. We are a group even in this church. We have so many different cultures in this church. And God is saying, I want you to love one another. But God also, in this message of loving one another, he tells us there's also an absolute here, a must. He says that all Christians would love one another as Christians. It's kind of amazing that throughout the scriptures, God keeps telling us as Christians that we need to love other Christians. And it's kind of surprising as you read that, you kind of think, don't we have that message down pat that we're to love one another? And throughout scripture, he constantly reminds us that, you know what, you really need to love one another in the body of Christ. And so again, that's so very, very important. It's mentioned throughout the scriptures. Now, as we talk about loving one another, then we really need to, well, what is love? And lots of people give definitions of love. Personally, I just like the definition that comes from scripture itself. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And that's the love that we are to love one another. Loving one another. See, the world is looking for love. They really are. There's a lot of people in this community. They're looking for love. And it's up to us as a church to show that you can find love right here because we choose to love one another. And that's kind of a good question to ask ourselves as Bethel. Do we love one another? And I think God's asking us that question here today. Do we really love one another right here in this church, in this body, in this place, this very morning? And to kind of help us to understand how important it is, I'd just like to look at this passage a little bit more, that we might be encouraged to really, really focus on that and really focus on loving one another more. And first of all, in understanding that responsibility to love one another, we need to understand that love is God's way. Love is God's idea. God is the origin of love, and his very nature is love. Love started with God. He was the first one to express it and to show it, and everything that he does, God loves. It's his way. God's way is to love. And he's asking us as his followers that we would follow in his ways and also be those people that would love like he loves. 1 John 4:7-8, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And that's really a powerful statement there, that God is love. And if we consider ourselves as his followers, then we need to express that same love by loving one another. And it's interesting that he goes on to say, but if you don't love one another, then it's showing that you really don't know God. You're not really in that place of a relationship that maybe you thought you were. If you can't love other people, then God's saying that you obviously are not really connected to me at all. Because if you're truly connected in relationship with me, you're going to take part of that nature and start loving on other people. See, when we love God and we experience God, we welcome God into our lives, there should be a love that's imparted to us and a love that begins to grow, that we begin to look at people differently, that we would choose to love others and have a genuine desire for their good. And so if we've really experienced God in our lives, if we're really a true Christian, then it's going to be in our very nature that we would love one another. It should be natural for us. Since it's God's nature, it should also be our nature. Love is God's idea. Love is God's way. As followers of God, as Christians, we're to love as God loves. We're to love in the way that God wants us to love, and loving one another shows that we're responding to the love of God and doing things God's ways. Then secondly, in understanding our responsibility to love one another, we need to realize that love is sacrificial. There is a price to pay. There is a cost that we will bear to love one another, just as there is a cost for God to love us. 1 John 4, 9 and 10 tells us that God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. See, we need to understand in loving one another, there's a cost. There's a cost. God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's how much he loved us. He really did. He loved us that much that would give us his Son. It cost him something. It was a very high cost. Our salvation came at a very, very high cost. And that should cause us to remind ourselves that, you know what, it shouldn't really be that hard to love one another. It really shouldn't be that hard. It was not us that was crying out for restoration, but rather it was God that was missing, that he was missing fellowship with us. It was God that reached out to us, not the other way around, but God reached out to us and shed his love upon us, that relationship could be restored. So in loving one another, sometimes it needs to be us that takes that first step, that we reach out to one another and that we're willing to love sacrificially, even giving of ourselves. It may involve giving of our time, maybe involve serving in some area, maybe giving of our finances and more, but it's going to cost you something. If you're going to love one another, it's going to cost something. Maybe a question we should ask ourselves is, how willing are we to advance in this area of loving one another? Are we willing to pay a cost? Loving one another is going to cost you something. And we need to be willing to take up that cost, to give up something of worth that person might experience and be a recipient of the love of God. So we need to understand sacrificial love is something that's important as we love one another. Then thirdly, to understand that loving one another, it needs to be expressed. It can't be something that we just, oh yes, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. No, it needs to be expressed. And sometimes that's where as Christians we fail. We say it with our mouths that we love one another, but we're not doing it by our actions. And that's something that's very important. It's not something we should just speak. It's something that we should actually express and do. You know, often we look at scriptures and sometimes we look at scriptures and we kind of deceive ourselves and convince ourselves that, you know what, I don't think we really have to do this. And we kind of convince ourselves that some of the scriptures are optional instead of commands. And we need to realize when Jesus says, I want you to love one another, it's not something that he says is optional. It's not something that he says, I want you to think about this. It's a command. You're to do it. You are to love one another. That's important to God. It tells us 1 John 4:11 to 12, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought into full expression in us. People will see Jesus in us as we love one another. The world will respond and believe that there is a God when they look at Christians loving one another. It's so important. It has to be more than just talked about. It has to be lived out. It has to be shown. Showing our love will cause us to do things for other people, cause us to be involved in our church. It'll cause us to help people through our words, through our actions, even through our pocketbook. And the more we do that, the more the love of God becomes more real in us. I find that quite interesting that God says, the more that you love one another, the more love increases in you. So as we give out, we actually get filled. God fills us up some more. And that's what Christianity really is. We're constantly be giving out and keep getting filled up. So often in Christendom, we see people, they receive Jesus and they think they got it all. That it's over. No, we're to keep. We receive, we give out. We receive, we give out. We receive, we give out. And it just keeps going like that. We keep getting more from God because God always has more for us. So don't shy away from loving on others. Even if you've been burned a time or two, God's love requires us to express our love towards one another. And as we do that, we're going to get closer to the heart of God. So don't draw back from this exercise. People are looking to be loved. It's one of the biggest needs in our world today, and that the world is looking for. Is there someone out there that will love? And we need to be that church that says, yes, we will love. Christians are to be active in acts of love towards one another. It's to be expressed, it's to be acted upon. It's not something that's optional. It needs to be expressed. So maybe we should need to ask God, God, how can I express my love to other people this week? How can I express my love to other people in this congregation? Maybe some people you don't even know yet. Lord, how can I express my love to them? And it's something that we need to understand, and it is something that needs to be expressed. And then fourthly, we need to understand that in loving one another, that it's an area that it needs to grow in our lives. It needs to increase in our lives. It needs to multiply in our lives. We need to keep getting filled. Keep getting filled with love. See, being a Christian does not stop at believing in Jesus. It doesn't stop when we say a sinner's prayer and we welcome Jesus Christ into our life. That's the beginning. There's a whole lot more. We are to pursue God more and more and more. We are to grow in this whole area of love and loving on people that we get so filled with the love of God and loving others that becomes a confidence of who we are in Christ Jesus. It becomes a confidence knowing that whenever Jesus comes back that we're ready, or whenever our lives may end, we're ready, because the confidence grows when you're in a relationship and you continue in this relationship to love one another. Verses 16 to 18 says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus right here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, is for fear of punishment. And this shows us that we have not fully experienced this perfect love. Are you scared about dying? Does it scare you when someone mentions that, well, maybe Jesus is coming back next year, or maybe he's coming back in 6 months' time? Does that scare you or excite you? It really should excite us. And if it doesn't excite us, then we really need to look at our lives that I don't think I'm in that place where I should be. If I'm really loving one another as he says I should, he says it'll be a confidence that will grow up inside of me, that I'll know that I know that I know that I'm ready to meet my Lord and my Savior. See, when we will all stand, the Bible says, before Jesus Christ. And we will all give an account on Judgment Day. All of us go through judgment. And as we go through judgment, we got to give an account for what we have done. And I think the Bible says he's going to raise those tears of heaven. I think those tears of heaven is because we're going to be lamenting over what we didn't do that we should have done. And one of those areas is about our love for one another. If we really do that job well, he's telling us that, you know what, you won't be worried about that on judgment day, because you're going to know that, man, I did that job. I did, Lord. I was your student. I was your follower. And I loved like you loved. And so again, so very important that we love one another. Love one another. And again, it is a command. It's not something that's optional. And we need to continue to apply that into our lives and not take breaks from it, but rather to grow. We're to grow. We're to increase. It's become more and more evident in our lives. Sometimes as Christians, we do things for a while and then we take these breaks, and sometimes you need vacations and short breaks. Don't take a long break. Take a short break, because you need to stay active. You need to stay growing. And maybe that's a good question. Am I still growing? Am I growing as a Christian? Well, one of the ways that you can tell if you are or you're not is, are you still loving on people? Because that's what God wants us to do. Keep loving on people. Keep loving on people. Then lastly, in loving one another, we need to understand that our love needs to be real. And that's so very, very important. When we were home, I went to visit one of my aunts, and I had this vision from heaven, and I felt that I needed to go and see her. And then as soon as I hit Nova Scotia, I had another dream, kind of a heavenly dream, and I just knew I needed to go see this lady. And Judy and I, we did. We went to saw her. We talked to her. I shared with her those dreams, and I knew that she was a believer at one time, and I was just talking to her that, you know, you need to be right. You need to be ready to meet your Lord and Savior. Your husband has already gone on before you. And I talked to her for a little while, and she did come to that place where she said, I am a believer. I still believe. And I said, well, heaven wants you to know that. It wants you to be ready. And as I was talking with my brother, he's not a Christian right now, and he kind of surprised me one day, and we got talking about Christianity a little bit and talking about church situations, and he just kind of let her blurt right out, and he says, I hate fake Christians. And that kind of surprised me a little bit, that he spoke that with quite a conviction, that he hates fake Christians. Nothing disturbs him more than fake Christians. And he went on to talk about, as we were being raised up as kids in church, and there was an individual in that church that at church he looked so spiritual, was so wonderful, but outside of church he was a totally different person. And my brother, who was not serving the Lord, he was in those same places that that person was. And I can remember even as a teenager, him coming back and saying, listen, that guy ain't so spiritual you guys think he is. And I can tell you what he's really doing out there. Well, anyway, I didn't realize that that had such an impact upon him. And then our church went through a split, and this person was involved in part of that split. And, you know, where you get all this criticism going, and then the church gets fighting within, and then the church splits. And that really made an impact on him, so much so that he hates fake Christians, and he's still not serving God. However, he is open. And I was very encouraged that he said, but I still see it in you guys. And he said, and especially I see it in your kids. He said, I watch your kids on Facebook, and when they've been down there, your kids are different than my kids. My kids are speaking to him. Big pressure on you, Christopher. My brother's watching you. He may come to Christ because of what he's seeing in others. He's already saw the bad. He wants to see the real. And I want to tell you something. The world outside is looking for the real. When they see Christians fighting with one another and criticizing one another, that just turns them off the gospel. So many churches have split throughout the years. Like the church I grew up in split so many times that it doesn't exist. Judy's church that she's been in too, that split so many times. This church actually had some splits many, many years ago. They're not good. They're ungodly. And that past could be keeping some people away from serving Jesus Christ. And that's a terrible, terrible thing. And again, we're going to give an account one day. And the Bible tells us that if we have turned off somebody from the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says it would be better for you to have never been born than to face judgment on that day of losing that child to the gospel, to Jesus Christ, because we chose not to behave properly as Christians. Our Christianity needs to be real. Our love for one another needs to be real. Verses 19, 21, we love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers or love their brothers and sisters. So interesting in Scripture that we're reminded of that so often. As Christians, you're to love one another. We just think oftentimes that he's just speaking to us, love the world out there to bring them to Jesus. No, he's saying you need to do it here first, right here in your own house. Love one another. And if we are, as Christians, are saying that we love God and we're Christian people and yet we hate somebody, then God says our Christianity is a hoax. We've deceived ourselves. We are liars. And that's not an opinion. That's what God says. Friends, we really need to watch ourselves. We really need to watch about our behaviors and what we're doing. Are we lining it up with the Word of God? Or are we excusing ourselves from what God says? And loving one another, it needs to be real. Souls are in the balance. It's not your opinion that's in the balance. Oh, you didn't get your way. We're talking about souls. And that's what God keeps reminding. You need to remind yourself it's about souls. It's about winning people to Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Being a testimony, being a place that people can come where they will receive love and know what true love is. Now, as we go through that, sometimes the Bible tells us that we need to deal in love with those who behave badly. Sometimes that means correction. We deal with correction in love. We deal with discipline. We deal with a rebuking, even in the church. Because if the church isn't right, we'll never be able to reach the world outside that is not right with God. And too often we ignore this because we don't want to lose a friend. And so we don't talk to our brothers or sisters that are maybe going down some paths they shouldn't be going down. We need to do that. We need to talk to one another. We need to be encouraging one another not to go down bad paths. And when we see people doing something they shouldn't be doing, we need to talk to them. We really do. They're your brother. They're your sister. We need to talk to them. In real love, you're going to love one another, especially your brothers and sisters right in your own church. Love is to be strongest right in the church. And that's a command. Love needs to be real. So in closing this morning, we're reminded by Scripture that every one of us as Christians, we're to love one another, and especially people in the church. The greatest area that we're to love is right here in this place, in the people that you see in this place. And I believe that God is asking us to examine ourselves to see, are we doing that? Because this is something that's very important to God and to one another. I close with a story. When we were in the church in Toronto, Pastor Hines was a speaker that day, and he's the evangelist that's on staff there. And he was a speaker at Catch the Fire Church, or the Toronto Blessing, the Toronto Airport Church, a few different names that they called it. And he really caught my attention. As he started his message that morning, he said, I want to share with you a story. I'm not sure if it's a true story or not. I really don't know. But I know I'm supposed to share this story with you today. And so he talked a little bit more, and then he came back to that and said, again, I got to share this story. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but I'm supposed to share it with you today. And then he began to talk about a pastor who wanted to do this series on love. And when the time came for him to speak and the service was over, the worship time was over, and the pastor came up to speak, he read this passage of Scripture, 1 John 4:7-21. And that's what Pastor Hines did. He read that portion of Scripture. And then he went on to say, to talk about the story. And he said, when the pastor finished reading that scripture, he said these words, love one another. And then he closed his Bible, and he walked down to that front row, and he sat down. And everyone was kind of looking like, oh, he's just joking. Oh, he's just, the pastor's trying to get a point across. And he didn't move. The pastor didn't move. He stayed right where he was. People are starting to get upset. The worship leader's trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? Like, nobody's doing nothing. What's going on? And everyone's kind of wondering what in the world is going on. They're actually getting a little bit upset. Finally, the worship leader goes up, sings a song, and dismisses the church. Well, that week at church, the pastor got many, many emails. And they were criticizing him, very critical and nasty to him. And they said all kinds of things to him just because he let them out early one Sunday and only had a message that said, love one another. Well, next Sunday came. That pastor got up again and said he'd be continuing on this series of love. And again, he read that same passage that we read to you. And then at the end of it, he stated this, love one another. And again, he closed the Bible and he walked down and he sat down on the front seat. Whew. People were really upset. But this time, he did get back up. And as he went back up, he stood there before them and he says these words, I've been faithfully serving this church for 25 years. I have loved you and cared for you and done what I could for you. However, I'm here to tell you today that we can go no further as a church until we start loving one another. And then he closed the Bible again and sat down. And again, Pastor Hines of the church said, I don't know if this story is true or not, but I felt just to tell you this story. Well, I know that really spoke to me because I've been serving this church just about 25 years. My brother-in-law was with me in that service. And, you know, when you sit with people that they help you to understand, maybe this could be for you. And I got the elbow and the look saying, oh, maybe you should pay attention about this story. But it kind of caused me to think about that story. Could that be us? Could that story be talking about us? Kind of a coincidence that I would be there that day. He would talk about someone 25 years and talking about wanting to go further with God. And he's saying, but you can't until you start loving one another more. And let me tell you, that really made me wonder. It really did. I went up for prayer afterwards there too. And that was really good as well. And they began to speak over our lives. And it was just really wonderful. But it really made us think about that. Are we loving one another in this church of Bethel the way we should be? I think God wants us to examine that. And as we examine that, too, if there are things that we need to deal with, that, let's deal with those things. And let's get back on track of loving one another. See, there's a lot of people out there right now that are speaking that they're also believing that God is going to move mightily upon North America before the return of Christ. I know Rodney Howard Brown, he was in Edmonton, I think, was it Friday night? I think I saw a post that. I'd gotten a video of his from Randy Clark, and so Judy and I, we watched it the other day. And in that video, I think it's pretty much what he was probably sharing there, but he's going around 300 different cities in North America. And he feels to go around and telling the people, get ready, because Jesus is coming again. And that there's going to be one more revival that's going to touch the world and change people and cause many people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so I really believe that. And I really believe that's going to happen right here. I believe Alberta, there's something special about Alberta. It's interesting that the Pentecostals of the whole world gathered in Calgary just this past week. So Pentecostals from all different denominations of Pentecostals have come to Alberta, and they were there in Calgary all week long. I didn't get to go to that because we were away, and so we didn't go down to that. But there's something for about Alberta. And I want the people of this community to know that this church is going to be a good place to come to. That if you want real love and you want to see love being expressed to one another, that this church would be that place. So that when Métis people come to Jesus Christ and they begin to encounter Christ and they're looking for some place to come to, that they're going to say, you know what, that St. Paul church, I remember they did some things. They were showing some love, and I'm going to go there. And as they come here, they'll truly find that they'll be accepted and welcomed. And then one of our wonderful Cree people, that as God begins to encounter our Cree people at the various reserves all around here, we're surrounded by Cree people. God wants to touch Cree people. And as God begins to touch them, they're going to be looking for a place to go. And I want them to say, hey, I know of a place. There's a place called Bethel. And in that church, you'll be received and you'll be welcomed and you'll be loved. And then the French people that have their origins out of Quebec. Quebec right now is the worst province in Canada as far as Christianity is concerned. Wouldn't it be wonderful that the French-speaking people of St. Paul would be saved and then start going back as missionaries into Quebec and start bringing the gospel back into Quebec? But let me tell you, they're going to be looking, is there a place I can go to where I'm going to experience true love? I want that to be here. What about the Ukrainians? There's been a lot of things that have been happening in Ukraine in the last few years. There's been good things with the gospel, but as far as the nation, a lot of hard and difficult things. What about the Ukrainians that are still here? That God begins to encounter them and they come to Jesus Christ. They're going to be looking for a place to come. We need to be that place. We need to be that place where they come and say, yeah, this is a place where some people are going to love on me. They're going to care about me. And there's going to be true love. Then all the English-speaking people, as God encounters them, they're going to be looking for a place to go. We need to be that place. We need to be that place. And as we look at the people from across Canada live here, we have people from every province right here in this church. And as God begins to reach out to the nation and throughout our provinces, they're going to be looking for some place to go. We need to be that church that loves one another. As we have the immigrants that are coming from around the world and settling in our world, and we're welcoming them into this nation, they're going to be looking for a place where there's love, where people are loving one another. We need to be that place. And so this morning, I don't know where you consider yourself to be in this area of loving one another. Are there some changes that as individuals we need to make? Because just as in that story, we can't go any further without doing that one, loving one another. Doesn't matter who the pastor is. If you can't get that one right, you're not going anywhere. We need to examine ourselves, love one another, and especially the people right here, the people right around you. So when they said that story, boy, that really did hit me. Wow, I'm 25 years, and wow, like, are we that church? Are we that story? I trust we're not. But I trust that we'll also pursue and say we're going to be the church that loves on people, the church that loves one another.